Testing, 1, 2, testing. This is Mr. Nobody. Podcast number 10. Today I'm at home. Which is nice and quiet. The reason is because the job that I've had for 11 years eliminated my position. I've mentioned this only to very few people. The sentence seems to elicit a very strong response. As if somehow we know, as animals.
Oh, harder. Oh, yeah, give it to me.
In our bones.
Oh, yeah.
Get up.
That resources, stability, predictability are very important to our survival, and that they are also very elusive. As a musician, I know very few people, musicians, who have had anything near what I've had, what I have enjoyed, in terms of stability, structure, consistency. Fortunately, I've been able to hire people along the way and help develop them into professionals in a very particular way. I just figure you should never waste your time anywhere you are, ever,
ever,
ever.
And anything that you can do to increase your value, your knowledge, your skill set, you should do. I heard a statement that said, when somebody works at a job for 10 years, it's not like they are relearning that job every year, but they're repeating the first year for 10 times. In my working experience, I've seen a lot of people just act out their jobs, go through the motions of being useful. And then there's always just a few key people that really keep the whole thing going. And those percentages are pretty small.
He was a good boy and he worked hard and he didn't fool around with those flippity-jibbit girls in the village.
Shut up.
What would you do? Something wild and unpredictable?
Uh-huh.
Oh, by the way, so tired of lying and thinking up lies. And
uh-huh.
Not knowing what is a lie and what is the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth? What is the truth?
What do you live on? Nuts?
Many people just act out their jobs. And I think this was starting to include me also. So I don't take it personally. But it's still an intense, I want to say shock to my system, but it's more like a soft thud. I don't know why. It should be a shock. I started this job because a guitar student of mine who used to come to my house where I lived with my children and take lessons. And this guy would always lose his keys or his wallet or his gloves. And I used to tell him, man, that's who you are. You're the guy that loses your shit. You lose your objects. You misplace them. And part of the reason is because you're placing them all over my house. Your keys went on this table, your wallet went over here. I remember telling him, like, that's because you have a sense of entitlement. You think that you can spread your shit out all over the place and just somehow find it. We had a good laugh about that. Anyway, this guy came to see a piece of theater that I made 12 years ago, and it was a wild piece of theater. We did ridiculous things. I wrote the piece, and then the fantastic cast brought it to life.
Shut up.
I didn't expect it, but for some reason he offered me a job with this company. And they called me in. I wore the only suit that I had, which was a kind of rock and roll blue suit. And the two owners sat me down and said, hey, we'd like to hire you this job. It's going to have a yearly salary. You're going to get insurance and vacation. And we want you to run all the other composers that are working across the country and be the lead, the lead composer and musician for the company.
For the company.
For the company.
I looked at them and without too much hesitation said, guys, I really appreciate it, but there's no fucking way. There's just no way. I'm gonna come in here at 9 in the morning and put on headphones and make music.
For this shit.
For this shit.
You gotta be crazy. Their mouths hung open and I could see that I inadvertently pushed a button in both of them. They didn't expect to be pushed. They thought that I was going to fall all over it and be so excited and grateful. What they didn't expect is that I'd turn them down.
I'd turn them down.
I'd turn them down. I did it on the basis of my artistic integrity, and it was genuine. I didn't plan it. I just felt it. I said, I'm a guitarist, I'm an actor and a comedian. It's not that I relish fucking clawing my way through every week, month, and season, but at least I feel like I'm doing the work I was born to do, that I choose to do, that I feel compelled to do. They made me a counteroffer.
I smelled the best noses of my demographic laid asunder by clarity, clawing through the lonely yards of marginalized homeowners. At noon, looking for a happy bag of weed. God penised pranksters, awash with modern hell-like disconnection to the darkness in the natural hue of daytime. Who, wealth, and cohesion, and bug-eared, standing low, sucking in normal daylight of hot coffee high-rises, stinking through the bottom of little towns, thinking about doodads who hid their minds from the devil and Brahma, and saw the prophet's bad guys dancing around the country kitchens with the floors dark, who stopped in centers of ignorance, hands lucidly and Montesquieu-like, watching the idiots' peace march, who were invited to the cave for intelligent erasing of books. Moral ditties on the trapdoor of my belly, who stood outside fully dressed, cool in their poverty, with or without their desk drawers, and blind to the pleasure kneeling in front of them. Out of jail, in their clean-shaven intestines for the first time, through Toronto with bolo ties jammed with linguine from Quebec, spitting water into musical tents and vomiting sand on the mountain, with purgatory up their asses full of pleasant dreams, grape juice, and pussy. In an endless cycle of insane children.
So they made me a counteroffer of like, how about you think about it and you do it your way. We're flexible if you want to work a few days at home.
And
we just need to know that you're on board.
And that you can really lead this thing.
So that was a big counteroffer. Since I had them on the hook, it's only the higher end of it that I'd ever consider. That doesn't even match what I'm making now.
Total lie.
They went for it. And so I started my life at that point as a working person for a company, making music, learning technology.
Get up.
Who's that?
I have no idea.
The main thing that my mind was blown about was that anybody would want somebody like me, because I was unstable. I was literally going from gig to gig.
What about me?
What about you? This husband murders a faithless wife and then commits suicide.
Three things I was doing. Prop comedy, you know, used to pop balloons in my pants and eat a sandwich on stage while the audience just had to endure that and broke boards and took a phone call while I played a piece of Bach. You just fuck shit up. My band, which had its own history, some of that music you hear on these podcasts. I was fortunate to be picked up by a company that had me as performer and sound designer, and then ultimately produced me. And that relationship also lasted about 10 years. I really wasn't making enough money. So I also painted houses and apartments, and I'm sure I did a few other things. And I was in volatile relationships. By the time I got this job, though, I had met my beautiful partner now. I met her in that first piece that my guitar student, who owned the company, hired me from. It's a point I should make
that
here.
That I never really altered my artistic output.
I did suffer once in a while when the company got really busy, but I kept doing all of my performance work all throughout the life of this company. The only thing that slowed me down was when my son died. I almost quit. Making music. I almost quit.
Dim the lights and save the savior. You crashed in the mountains by balloons. Pray and pray that you are. That you are lost in the light of yet another blue moon. Fall inside. Pressure fades, beauty hides. When you crest again, you get your masquerade. It's ready made as you roar from your lowest chamber that you're being drawn. Come to my carnival. I am your clown. As you run through the bramble, branches tear at your clothes. You don't recall when your heart first started and where it stops. There's no one who knows, but you fall inside. You land in the middle of a show. No one cares who you are. I swear there will be no tomorrow. Seeing is not believing, but you can hear the sound coming from my carnival. I am your clown. But you can't escape. If you hide, it follows you inside, leads you to your own unmaking. You feel the throat when you first let go, as you crawl from inside, tossed like a kitty in the tide. All the doors finally open, when all the locks are finally broken. The last thing as you left the ground, your visit to my carnival, I am your clown.
These podcasts represent my most internal artistic output. They interest me the most because that's what I'm hearing in my head. I'm synthesizing my life. My kids were also very relieved that I somehow got a job. Because when kids are small, they don't need to hear, you know, your parents' songs, see them doing weird shit on stage or laughing to their jokes. Kids don't care about that shit. They care about ice cream and pizza and wrestling, animals and learning about stuff and driving in the car somewhere fun, watching a movie together, popcorn, good food, reading books to them, being quiet. That's what kids care about. That their rooms are clean, that your room is clean, that the lights are on, that their parents aren't fucked up, that nobody's in danger or shouting. Kids care about peace and fairness. Problems seem to emerge in our adolescence, and then they're with us for the rest of our life, unless we get to know ourselves, truly confront, encounter, process, deal, alter, for the right reasons, or should I say, with the right reasoning. When I say reasoning, I think of my mind, but also my emotional instrument. Like what you know feels right. Like sometimes you can rationalize something by the numbers or by the lists, but you know it doesn't feel right. Or at least we hope that we would know when something is wrong to avoid it. Unfortunately, that's not the case all too often. All too often, we do not know how to delay our gratification, or what we think is going to gratify us. We just want it now, and we think we deserve it, and we know we don't. I think that's what makes a lot of people violent and fucked up, is that they say to themselves that they think that they should deserve it, but that they know they don't. They know that they don't, because they haven't worked for it, they haven't earned it. Like, you could steal a guitar,
could steal the most expensive guitar in the world, and if you don't know how to play that thing beautifully, then what good is it? You sell it to somebody, if you're lucky. But thieves are fucked up. They're never lucky. I don't want to veer off too far, but I would like to say that it seems like nobody who goes after fast, easy money ever gets it for too long. And they never enjoy it, really, because they know they don't deserve it. I saw a drug dealer with thousands of dollars in his pocket.
He pulled it out
at the little bodega down the street. I had my scooter fairly large and heavy, and I wanted to hit him across the fucking back with it and take his money. Piece of shit. A piece of human shit. Anyway. I'm nobody anymore. So you can listen to me because I don't give a shit. Self-opinion. Interesting. What is the other word? I forget it sometimes. Self-esteem. I believe that is how high you rate yourself, right? Well, on whatever scale, how you esteem yourself.
Feel like going out and drinking and staying up all night again tonight?
I do.
Well, it's a weird word because it's not really up to you. Your self-respect is up to you, but the world will esteem you all for nothing. You could let them do it. If you're full of shit, the world will tell you. You might get over on some people and into some situations that people can't get out of. But it won't last. And you'll fuck it up. Because it's just based on talk. And underneath it, insecurity, fear, an overestimated sense of self-worth. Not a deficiency, but a surplus. That's a big problem. A lot of the criminals and sociopaths that I've met in my life were not people that had low self-esteem. They had way too much. But they had no self-respect because they were full of shit. They didn't really do anything of value. They did not respect their lives, the time here, the possibility of the great things they could do. I was once on this mountain, and it was almost sunset, and I had dragged my guitar up on this mountain because I was hanging out with this really hot girl, and she liked the guitar. I was a teenager. And the sun was coming down, and no one had ever really paid me any mind. And here was this really beautiful girl who was a year older than me. And we were just having the most incredible day. And there was a man up there, you know, a guy. You know, when you're 17 or you don't know how old somebody is. Everybody's old. He's probably in his 20s or 30s. But he said, would it be okay if I played a song on your guitar? And I said, of course. And the sun was going down. Right at that moment, we're on the top of a mountain, so we were going to have a hard time getting off. But he took my guitar, and without even, you know, changing his composure, without even pretending to be someone other than who he was, it wasn't even in the air. It's just that he took the guitar and he set it on his lap and he started a song that is still in my ears. It was one of the most beautiful things I have ever heard. And his voice was braying like a mule. It had emotion that was so, so deep and perfect. He changed my life in those 3 minutes. As I watched him and heard him transcend the moment, transcend the instrument, transcend all my thoughts and biases, and revealed to me the beauty and power that one moment could contain, because he took the time out of his life to be able to learn that song. He wasn't showing off, and after he was done, he handed it back, said, "Yeah, man, nice guitar." I still see him in my mind, just like I see my son in my mind. So my job was supposed to give my children a sense of security. I was so proud to tell them that they had insurance and I was going to make sure that they were always taken care of. That job was for my kids. I would tell my son when he was in college that my life was no longer about me, that it was about him, his education, his development, and that if he allowed me, if he gave me the honor of that partnership, that privilege, that my job, I would keep it, that I was his patron, not just his father, which I think that word comes from the same root, and that the way that he would pay me back was to be a good man to his children or anyone he came in contact with. So when they let me go, when they eliminated my position, the thing that I really felt was that last strand of hope that I had for my son, because my job was supposed to be for him. But since there's no him, it doesn't matter. That's my story. Now my life really begins as Mr. Nobody.
I was shaking off the signs. There was a pressure ever mounting. There were warnings in your finger paint designs, but too soft for me to hear that they started counting as I tried to reconnect with you. I was a pebble on the ground. Everything that walked came after me. See how fast things come around. And nothing could hear the laughter in me as I tried to reconnect with you. You now.